Hare Krishna. Today is a most significant event in the life of a devotee. The occasion of Diksha. Our acharyas have divided the process of initiation into two sections. First initiation, which is called Harinam, and second initiation, which is called Diksha. After the disciple has received first initiation and shown himself to be steady in the execution of devotional service, according to his vows at the time of first initiation, he can be awarded second initiation. And upon being awarded second initiation, one is eligible to worship the deity. The deity, of course, is spiritual. Krishna is spiritual. And to properly worship Krishna, one must be on the spiritual platform by chanting the prescribed number of rounds of the Hare Krishna Mantra daily, following the four basic restrictive principles, and in general following the process of Bhakti Yoga. In the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Devi Diye Sabina Mari Nama Maya Dura, that this material nature, consisting of the three modes, is very difficult to overcome. Mam eva prasadyante, mayam eham charantite. One who surrenders to Krishna can easily cross over mine. So that process of surrendering to Krishna is called Bhakti Yoga. In the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Brahma hi pratisthaham, that I am the basis of the impersonal Brahma. One may come to the Brahman platform and aspire to merge and become one with the mind. But devotees go beyond that Brahma Jyoti to render personal service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mancha yogyadi charine bhakti yogena sevate. One who is engaged in unfailing, unflinching devotional service, Brahma Guyaya Kalpate, he comes to the platform of Brahman. And one cannot serve the Supreme Brahman unless he is on the platform as Brahman. Brahman means spiritual. And cannot serve the Supreme Spirit unless one is on the spiritual. Srila Prabhupada has described this process in an elaborate report. Through a verse in Srila Rupa Goswami's Rupa Goswami's to mentor and instructions. I will read from that booklet because it is very instructive in terms of what is taking place in the ceremony today and in terms of how, in general, each one of us can and should progress in Krishna consciousness. So I'll read the verse, text 5. Krishna priyasya giritam manasa priyeta dikshasi chetta tanibis tapajantam isham shushu shaya padana vedyamananyamanya Nindari sunya pridayam ikshita sangha lavya. Can you make it a little louder? One more time. Krishne piyasya giritam manasa vrieta ikshasti chet Pranati-bhis-chava-jantam-isham Shushu-shaya-vajana-vedyam-nanya-anya Nindari-sunya-vedam-yipsita-sambhavya. Please repeat. Krishna, the holy name of Lord Krishna.
Holy name of Lord Krishna.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus. Yasya.
Yasya.
Avum.
Avum.
Giri.
Giri.
In the words or speech.
In the words or speech.
Tam.
Tam.
Yam.
In him.
Manasa.
Manasa.
In the mind.
In the mind.
Agrieta,
Agrieta.
One must honor.
One must honor.
Diksha,
Diksha.
Initiation.
Initiation.
Asti,
Asti.
There is.
There is.
Chet,
Chet.
If.
If.
Pranatibi,
Pranatibi.
By obeisances.
By obeisances.
Cha,
Cha.
Also,
also,
bhajantam,
bhajantam,
engage in devotional service.
Engage in devotional service.
Isham,
Isham,
unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Shushushaya,
Shushushaya,
by practical service.
By practical service.
Bhajanavidyam,
Bhajanavidyam.
One who is advanced in devotional service.
One who is advanced in devotional service.
Anamyam.
Anamyam.
Without deviation.
Without deviation.
Anyaninda adi.
Anyaninda adi.
Blasphemy of others.
Blasphemy of others.
Etc.
Etc.
Shunyam.
Shunyam.
Completely devoid.
Completely devoid.
Vedam,
Vedam,
whose heart,
whose heart,
Ikshita,
Ikshita,
desirable,
desirable,
Sangha,
Sangha,
association,
association,
Lavya,
Lavya,
by gaining,
by gaining.
Translation. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshipping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who has advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. This verse also explains how you should relate to different categories of devotees. Please repeat. One should mentally honor the devotee.
One should mentally honor the devotee.
Who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna.
Who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna.
One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee.
One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee.
Who has undergone spiritual initiation.
Who has undergone spiritual initiation.
Diksha.
Diksha.
And is engaged in worshipping the deity.
And is engaged in worshipping the deity.
And one should associate with and faithfully serve.
One should associate with and faithfully serve.
That pure devotee who is advanced.
That pure devotee who is advanced.
In undeviated devotional service.
In undeviated devotional service.
And whose heart is completely devoid.
And whose heart is completely devoid.
Of the propensity to criticize others.
Of the propensity to criticize others.
So there's a long description. All of the purports in the Nectar of Instruction are quite long and elaborate. But we will bypass the preliminary discussion and come to the specific discussion of initiation. In this Krishna consciousness movement, a chance is given to everyone without discrimination of caste, creed, or color. Everyone is invited to join this movement, sit with us, take prasad, and hear about Krishna. When we see that someone is actually interested in Krishna consciousness and wants to be initiated, we accept him as a disciple for the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. When a neophyte devotee is actually initiated, and engaged in devotional service by the orders of the spiritual master, he should be accepted immediately as a bona fide Vaishnava, and obeisances should be offered unto him. Out of many such Vaishnavas, one may be found to be very seriously engaged in the service of the Lord and strictly following all the regulated principles, chanting the prescribed number of rounds on japa beads, and always thinking of how to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. Such a Vaishnava should be accepted as an uttama adhikari, a highly advanced devotee, and his association should always be sought. The process by which one becomes attached to Krishna is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya 4, 192. Diksha Kale பக்த காலை ஆத்ம சமர்ப்பணம், சே காலை கிருஷ்ண காலை காலை ஆத்ம சமர்ப்பணம். At the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders to the service of the Lord, Krishna accepts him to be as good as he himself. This verse, we call it a verse now, but this statement is made by Lord Chaitanya to Srila Sanatana Goswami. When Srila Sanatana Goswami had a disease that caused itching sores that oozed some liquid, and feeling that his body was contaminated and polluted, he wanted to avoid Lord Chaitanya's touch. But Lord Chaitanya would forcibly embrace him, even though his body would become smeared by the oozing liquids from Sanatana Goswami's skin. And this caused such deep pain to Sanatana Goswami that he was ready to leave. And Lord Chaitanya chided him for his desire to give up his body, which he considered to be abominable. And he spoke these words, Diksha Kala, at the time of initiation, Bhakta Kale, the devotee who does Atma Samarpana, fully surrenders himself. Se Kale, at that time, Krishna Tarakare, Krishna accepts him, Atma Sam, to be on the same level as he himself, Krishna. Diksha, or spiritual initiation, is explained in the Bhakti Sandarbha 868 by Srila Jiva Goswami. Divyam jnana ito dadya kurya tapasya samshayam tasmat dikshati sa prokta deshikai stattva kovidai. By diksha, one gradually becomes disinterested in material enjoyment and gradually becomes interested in spiritual life. So divya jnana, that means spiritual knowledge, divine knowledge. We sing this in the Guru Vandana prayers to the spiritual Master, Divya Gyanam Vide Prakashita, that Father, His mercy, spiritual knowledge was manifest within the heart. So, Divyam Gyanam Yatokadhyat. So, initiation is the process by which spiritual knowledge is given. Kurya Papasya Papa Sin. Samshayam, it is the process by which sin is destroyed. Tasmat dikshati sattvokta deshikasta vakodhiva. That this, thus the process of initiation of disha is seen by those who are learned and know the truth. And Srila Prabhupada makes it practical in terms of the Krishna consciousness movement. We have seen many practical examples of this, especially in Europe and America. Many students who come to us from rich and respectable families quickly lose all interest in material enjoyment and become very eager to enter into spiritual life. Although they come from very wealthy families, many of them accept living conditions that are not very comfortable. Indeed, for Krishna's sake, they are prepared to accept any living condition, as long as they can live in the temple and associate with the Vaishnavas. When one becomes so disinterested in material enjoyment, he becomes fit for initiation by the spiritual master. There's an incident that both demonstrates this principle and also exhibits Srila Prabhupada's perspective, which is the same perspective as he has just related here in the purport. But Srila Prabhupada had a friend in Bombay called Dr. C.T. Patel. When the devotees first came to the Jubilee, not initially, but initially they were just living on the terraces of the tenement buildings. But then, under Prabhupada's instructions, they built a very simple chattai hut. So Dr. Patel, when he saw these devotees from America and Europe living in this condition, he felt some sort of appreciation for them and sympathy for them. And although he was a very proud man, because he had been educated in England, which was quite rare in his time, but more than that, when he was in England, he maintained his Vaishnava principles. He didn't become influenced by the ways of the West. But he was so moved by the austerities of the devotees that he took up a collection, which was quite a thing for him, and he put together a set of 12 mattresses, and not like the mattresses you buy in stores here, but this cloth filled with cotton, and 12 blankets, 12 mosquito nets, and maybe 12 pillows, again not ready made, but just cloth stuffed with cotton. But living in the ashram, gradually the articles began to disappear. One pillow disappeared, two blankets. And after a few years, there was nothing left of that. That was part of one donation. So on the morning walk on Juhu Beach, he complained to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada replied, do you know why there's nothing left of your donation? These devotees are not interested in material comforts. They are interested only in chanting the holy names and serving the spiritual master. And as long as they can do that, they don't care about any material comforts. And he said that mukti, which you are so eager for, Dr. Patel is a little bit of an impersonalist, although he claimed to be a Vaishnava. He was a bit of an impersonalist, and Prabhupada knew that, that's what he really wanted. He wanted mukti. So he said, that mukti which you are so eager to achieve, these devotees, they already have it. And therefore they have no interest in any of these material things. So what Srila Prabhupada said in the purport is very similar to what he said after. Of course, on a higher level, there's the principle of yukta vairagya, which is accepting things that can be used in Krishna's service. But in terms of personal comforts, of course one may need a certain degree of physical support to keep one's body and soul fit to serve Krishna, but otherwise devotees are not interested in anything but Krishna's service. When one becomes so disinterested in material enjoyment, he becomes fit for initiation by the spiritual master. For the advancement of spiritual life, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.13 prescribes, Tapasa brahmacharyena samena chardhamena cha. When a person is serious about accepting diksha, he must be prepared to practice austerity, celibacy, and control of the mind and body. If one is so prepared and is desirous of receiving spiritual enlightenment, divyajnana, he is fit for being initiated. Divya Jnanam is technically called Tadvijnanam, or knowledge about the Supreme. Tadvijnanartham Sadgurum Eva Vigachet. When one is interested in the transcendental subject matter of the Absolute Truths, he should be initiated. Such a person should approach a spiritual master in order to take diksha. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.21 also prescribes, Tasmat Gurum Prapadyeta Jidya Sushreya Tutamam. When one is actually interested in the transcendental science of the Absolute Truth, he should approach the spiritual master. So this eagerness is a common thread in the descriptions of the qualifications of the disciple. Eagerness for transcendental knowledge. And in the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, that knowledge is called Shreya, Shreya Uttama. There are two words in Sanskrit, Shreyas and Preyas. Shreyas means ultimate benefit, and Preyas means immediate gratification. That's like children generally like to play. An odd example, but just last night I got an email from one of the congregational devotees in Houston saying that Friday was his son's birthday. And his son, and I'm going to be in Houston, so his son said that if Dhiraj Swami comes, is ready to come to my birthday party, we can have a satsang at home with Dhiraj Swami. Otherwise, if he's not prepared to come, then I want to go with my friends instead. So, a little bit of emotional blackmail there. but that's good. I mean, he's a fortunate child to have that idea. But generally, children, they want immediate gratification. They want to just enjoy it. It's a long play. And when the parents say you have to go to school, I mean, it depends. There could be exceptions, but they may not want to go to school. They want to stay and play. But the parents say, no, you have to go to school, because if you don't study, if you don't learn, you will have a hard time later in life. You won't be able to be successful in life later on. You'll suffer. So spiritually, people are like children in Kali Yuga. They don't want discipline. They don't want to make sacrifices. They want to play. Because a common saying in material society that the one who has the most toys at the end of the day wins. In other words, at the end of the day, in this context, at the end of your life, whoever has the most toys, in other words, whoever has accumulated the most material possessions wins. He's successful. That's the material concept. But that the use of the word toy is actually very appropriate, because they are toys, they are trifles, they have no real significance of them. So people are like children. They just want toys, they just want to play, enjoy sense of it. But the pure devotee and the Supreme Lord, they see these children are just wasting their valuable human form of life, playing like children or enjoying like animals. They should be convinced of the value of spiritual life, so that they don't end up going round and round and round in circles of repeated birth and death. And therefore the devotees, Srila Prabhupada, they go to great lengths, they take great trouble to try to impress these facts on the fallen souls who are like children. And those who assist them, they develop the same qualities. It's also stated in the second canto. Sam Mahat Sayadavitra, by serving the great soul who are freed from vice. Vasudeva Katagrishi, one develops an attraction or taste for messages of Vasudeva, of Krishna's. And that taste, Srila Prabhupada says, that taste is the preliminary qualification for entering the kingdom of God. So we may not have taste in the beginning, because we are fallen. We're in ignorance. And so one way to develop that taste is Samadhi, by serving great souls. And the other way is by chanting, even though we don't have taste. In the same Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami says that the holy name and qualities and pastimes of Krishna are sweet like sugar candy, rock candy. But one who is afflicted by the disease of jaundice or ignorance, avidya, he cannot taste the sweetness. When someone's tongue is infected by jaundice or hepatitis, sweet things taste bitter. But the Ayurvedic cure for jaundice is rock candy. But even though it tastes bitter at first, by taking the rock candy, gradually one's disease becomes cured. And as one is being cured and returns to normal health, he or she is able to taste the rock candy as it is, which is sweet. Gradually becomes sweeter and sweeter. And then, when one's cured, one can taste it as sweet as like that. So we need to engage in these two processes, serving pure devotees and chanting the holy names with attention. It's difficult, but we have to try. And these two processes will cleanse the heart, shake it up in the margin. And as the heart is cleansed, one develops these qualities of an advanced devotee. And one of them is Ninda Sunya. One's heart is free from the propensity that Srila Prabhupada says to criticize others. Ninda means that to criticize, to blaspheme, to find faults. So that's a very important point in spiritual progress, to appreciate devotees. There's nothing in this verse that allows for criticizing devotees. I mean, the verse mentions different categories, those on the neophyte platform. One may not associate with them intimately, but one should honor them mentally. And if someone is actually initiated and can properly engage in devotional service, then they offer obeisance. And if someone is advanced and because the void of the propensity to criticize others, the different things that the Prabhupada says, always thinking of others as a precious consciousness, chanting a prescribed number of rounds and following the regular principles. So then one should seek that devotee's association, faithfully serve that devotee. But it's a gradual process, and we can see how we are advancing by these different qualities, and we should work on them. Especially that ninda, sadhu ninda, the first offense in the chanting of everyone to blaspheme and criticize devotees. Of course, if one is in a position of a teacher, one may have to correct the devotee. So that should be done with sympathy, not out of anger or malice. So we'll just read one or two more paragraphs. One should not accept a spiritual master without following his instructions. Nor should one accept a spiritual master just to make a fashionable show of spiritual life. In other words, it can sort of be a fashion to have a guru. And to be fashionable, one may accept a spiritual master who may or may not be bona fide. one should not accept the guru as a matter of fashion. Some people are gurus, Vaishnavas. And one should not accept a guru without being prepared to follow his instructions. The inquiries one makes should strictly pertain to transcendental science. Jivyasu Shreya Utamam. You know, there are, especially in India, people think that by the blessings of the Guru they can get material benefit. And so they approach the Guru for blessings, Ashirvad. And that is not the reason, that is not the proper reason to approach the Guru or to ask. They ask, you know, they think the Guru might have some extraordinary insight into the future. So they'll ask, you know, is this a good investment? So not that, not grace, but Shreya Utamam, ultimate. Yes, the word Utamam refers to that which is above material knowledge. Tama means the darkness of this material world, and Uch means transcendental. Generally, people are very interested in inquiring about mundane subject matters. But when one has lost such interest and is simply interested in transcendental subject matters, he is quite fit for being initiated. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would complain that people, he would have darshan hours. He had a very regulated and full schedule. But he would have a darshan hour from, say, 4 to 5 in the afternoon. But sometimes he would complain, and he would complain that they just come and they waste my time. They come and they say, Swamiji, how is your health? And Prabhupada said, everyone can see my health is not good. But they come and waste my time, Swamiji, how is your health? So he cited the example of Sri Aurobindo, who apparently, he would give darshan once a year. He'd come out on his balcony and give darshan once a year. And Prabhupada said that he felt he should do that. But then he said if he did that, people would get upset. They'd be, oh, now Swamiji's a big man, he has no time for us. And so Prabhupada said, I can't do that now. But when the new temple opens, you know, then I can go to mind as a humble person and partner. So, yeah, we should not waste our time, we should not waste the devotee's time by inquiring uselessly about material. Uselessly means without relationship to Krishna consciousness. From material benefit, Shreyas, not Shreyas, but Krishna. When one is actually initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, and when he seriously engages in the service of the Lord, he should be accepted as a Madhyama Adhikari. The chanting of the holy names of Krishna is so sublime that if one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offenselessly, carefully avoiding the 10 offenses, he can certainly be gradually elevated to the point of understanding that there is no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself. This is the critical point. When one comes to that understanding, he's considered liberated. And we can see to what extent we actually realize that the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself are the same. When we chant the holy name, we are actually praying to the Lord and his energy, to Radha and Krishna, to engage us in their service. So one devotee compared chanting to, of course, there are many ways of looking at chanting. It's also crying, the cry of a genuine child, the genuine cry of a baby for its mother. That's ideal. Cry to the holy names for mercy, for service. But in another way, he said it's like a job interview. So if you go for a job interview, you're going to be very clean, very well dressed, very attentive. Can you imagine if you went for a job interview and you're sitting across the table from the CEO or the human resource director or whatever, and you're dozing, like, what chance is there that you get the job? You're sitting for the interview. So we're chanting, we're applying for service to Radha and Krishna. So when we realize that the holy name of Krishna is Krishna himself, then we have really reached a significant stage in devotional service. I mean, of course, it can be like that. Srila Prabhupada said, if you are tired and you're chanting, and you can walk and chant. In a way, it's not ideal, but if there's no other time to chant, if you can't rest, then you can walk and chant. So the chanting of the holy name of Krishna is so sublime that if one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offenselessly, carefully avoiding the 10 offenses, he can certainly be gradually elevated to the point of understanding that there is no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself. One who has reached such an understanding should be very much respected by neophyte devotees. One should know for certain that without chanting the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, one cannot be a proper candidate for advancement in Krishna consciousness. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22:69, it is said, Yahara Komala Shraddha Seka Nista Jana Kame Kame Tenho Bhakta Hati Vej Uttama. One whose faith is soft and pliable is called a neophyte. But by gradually following the process, he will rise to the platform of the first class devotee. Everyone begins his devotional life from the neophyte state, but if one properly finishes chanting the prescribed number of rounds of Harinam, He is elevated step by step to the highest platform, Uttama Adhikara. The Krishna consciousness movement prescribes 16 rounds daily because people in the Western countries cannot concentrate for long periods while chanting. But because we are trying to serve the Supreme Lord with all seriousness and without duplicity, we can accept the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is famous as the Tirthapavana, the deliverer of the fallen. So there's more, but we won't read further. But this last statement is also very important. That Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya is known as the Tirthapavana, the savior of the fallen, the deliverer of the fallen. So even though we're fallen from a certain perspective, anyone who doesn't chant 64 rounds is fallen, but because we're sincerely trying our best to serve Guru and Varunda, without duplicity, we can expect their mercy. So, today this is a very special day for Sanatadeva Das. He received first initiation. You remember when you received first initiation?
Absolutely. March 2009.
So that was about 5.5 years ago. And how long were you practicing Bhakti Yoga before you were initiated?
I moved in the temple there in June 2005. I had been practicing a little before that.
So about 10 years altogether. So, Anandadeva has shown himself to be very steady. He's had health problems, but still, he remained fixed on his determination to do service. And I've been getting letters every now and then for the last 2 years. Requesting me to initiate him, but somehow it didn't work out. So this worked out very well. I could be here in person and conduct the ceremony in front of the beings here and the devotees. So there's no coming forward like first initiation where there's, taking vows, getting your beads and moving. But it is a very significant event. After the ceremony, we'll be giving you the Gayatri mantras. But although there's no very specific climactic moment, like when the beads are handed over, I request you all to give your wholehearted blessings and good wishes to Anantadeva Prabhu ki jai. So now we will proceed with the fire ceremony. This is also an essential part of the ceremony. In essence, offering the fires into, offering the grains into the fire, grains with the it's offering ourselves in surrender to Krishna. That's Atma Samarpana. Surrendering oneself, Atma Samarpana. And Atma Sam, Krishna sets you on the same level. And that means he's prepared to accept your service. Hare Krishna.